Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Mova Bas with Daf Chav Dalet. We are on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, a few lines at the bottom, Tashma. We just tossed out of the base Medrash, right? That's where we ended. And now we're trying to figure out, Gemara is discussing Rov Ukarov. We have two conflicting ways to determine a suffix. One is Rov, and one is proximity. Do we go by the Rov or by Karov? So, Tashma Rigaraya. Nimsa Bein Shnei Shovchos. We found this bird, right? The bird was found between two nests. If it's close to the nest A, it belongs to the person in nest A, who owns nest A, the Karav Lezeh Shelo. In other words, we go after the proximity. But the Gemara's assumption is that the Gemara doesn't make a distinction whether or not one nest is larger than the other nest. Assumingly, we go according to Karov, even if one nest is larger than another nest. If it was larger, that would be the Rov. So you see here, we're going according to Karov, not according to Rov. So Gemara says, no. Hachum ayaskinon sheshnehem shavin. We're dealing with a case where the two potential choices that we have are of equal size. Each nest is of equal size. I think it's theoretically possible to have the exact size because the nests were made a certain way, and this is the standard nest is the same size. So the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. If that's the case, though, there's not a riot that we're going at Karov, so we really still have to go by Rov. So Lazel Basar Ruba Dalma. Let's go according to Rov of the world. Rove of the world, in the Rove, most birds do not come from either of these nests, and therefore we have a chick in the road that the Rove tells us it doesn't belong to either of these nests, and finders keepers, assuming that there's no simon, there's no reason, you don't have to make a hachrasa. V'leil zolbasa rubud alma. So one says, no, hachum ayaskinon, what are we dealing with over here? Bishvil shel kronim. We're talking about a case where it's like a road between a bunch of trees. So you have trees that go, there's a pathway in the orchard. It's a pathway in an orchard. Okay? So, the im isa, the alma isi, and also the cave of the medidi lo matzi asi. We're talking about, it's in this passageway. It's also talking about birds that hop, that don't fly. Right? We mentioned that yesterday also. These are birds that are hopping. So the im isa, the alma asi, if you're telling me that it came from outside one of these two shovchim, or you must have a shovach on either end of this path, right? And if it and a hopping bird, kevan the im isa the alma asi kevan the midi lo matzi asi the chol the midadidi b'hadar chazal lekini midadidi below midadidi. The hopping birds will only travel so far as they can see their nest. They can't see their nest anymore. They will not go there. They will not travel there. So what do we have here? This gozel, it's in the shviel. If it came from outside of the shviel, it can't be because it's a hopping bird. It wouldn't come from outside because you can't see anything outside. You only can see the nest on either end of the path. So there's no way. Yes, you would typically go according to rope, but there's no right here because the special circumstance that we're dealing with over here is this path. And that they're hopping birds. Hopping birds won't travel unless they can see their nest. They'll never come in here because I can't see their nest. Any nest outside the path can't be seen. So it must be it's from one or the other of the shofar on either side of this pathway. And we go according to Karol because we just established that they are the same, that these nests are the same size. So we have no raya here for Rov and Karov that we go according to Karov because we have different circumstances. So, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, right, we've established basically our premises that we go according to Rov. So Abaye says, Apana Nami Tanina. We also have learned this in the Mishnah, that Rov and Karov, we go according to the quantity, not the proximity. We go according to Rov. It's a little Hekdama. The Gemara in Maseches Nida has a discussion of the female anatomy. When it comes to Nida, it's a discussion of female anatomy that's really difficult to understand based on our current knowledge of the anatomy. But basically what you have is, you have the Makor. We'll talk about the Makor is the uterus. All blood that comes from the uterus is considered Tameh. It's all Tameh blood that comes from the uterus. That's Dam from the Makor. You also have what's called the prose door. The prose door is the vaginal canal, and that's where the blood comes out from the vaginal canal. And then you also, what they had, something that they called an aliyah. There was the understanding of the Gemara was that there was another, some sort of other organ that was connected to the vaginal canal that would sometimes blood would come from there as well. And the blood that came from this aliyah was considered tahor. So now the question is, you see blood in the vaginal canal, in the prose door, what's the story? It could come from the makor. If it comes from the makor, it's tamei. If it comes from this aliyah, then it's tahor. I don't think, basically our scientific knowledge doesn't have this other organ that's connected to the vaginal canal. We only have the, only a uterus that's connected to the vaginal canal. But maybe you could assume that maybe someone has a cut or something else in the vaginal canal. The blood that comes from there is tahor. It's only blood that comes from the uterus. So Amar Avaya Apana Nami Tanina, I'm going to show you a Mishnah that it's a Mishnah in Masechet Nida, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that by Dam Nida we go according to Rove and not Karv. Also, the Gemara's assumption is that this Aliyah is closer to the prose door than which, and that blood would be tahor, is closer than the Makor, than the uterus. So you have Dam Shenimsav prose door. You have blood that's found in the vaginal canal, right? And we don't know whether it came from the Makor or this organ called Aliyah. Right, so Sveikum, with this Sufek, we say Tameh. If it's the Sufek, where it came from, we say that the blood is Vadai Tameh. Meaning we're assuming it definitely came from the uterus. Shecheskasam in Makor, because we have a Chazaka that it comes from the Makor. Why? Because it's Rove. The Apagav, the Ika Aliyah, the Mikarva, even though the Aliyah is closer. So you see Rove Makor, you're going according to the Rove. So we say that in this Sufek, she's Vadai Tameh. It's definitely Tameh. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, no, that's not a raya. Why? Because this is not just a regular rov versus karov. It's rovu matsui. It's rov and it's more abundant, I guess. The blood typically comes from the. I don't know what they would say. Rovu matsui was a chazaka. Rashi says rovu matsui. He says damim rabim yoser mishel aliyah. There's much more blood that comes from the makor than it comes from the aliyah. V'ochein tadirin lazuv. It's more. It more often comes from there. Misham, but the Mei Aliyah ain't Tardirin Latzeis. It's not typical that blood will come out from this Aliyah. So it's Rovu Matsui. So Rovu Matsui Lekulamanda Amar. There's no one who argues that by Rovu Matsui you go according to Karov. So this would be this is a Rovu Matsui. That's why you go according to it. Ditani Rav Chiya. There's a major machlokes to be shown whether it's Ditani or Tani Rav Chiya. Toso says that if you say Ditani, it seems that it's a Raya that we just said that, but. Whatever. So, Tani Rav Chiya, Dama Nimsa prose door. If you find blood in the prose door, Chayavin La Bias Midash. We're so certain that this dam is tahor, that if she comes into the base of Migdash with this blood, without being mitai herself, she's Tmeya. We know that she's definitely Tmeya, and therefore she would have to bring a Chatas Olivi Yored about someone who's Nichnas into the base of Migdash, Betuma B'Shogeg. Meaning, if we're not worried about bringing chulin lazara, about bringing a non necessary carbon into the azara, we say she's definitely tmeya, and that's why she would have to bring the carbon. And if she touched truma, we're so certain that she's tmeya that we would burn truma if she touched this truma, because like the din of truma nitmeis vados, right? It's not that we don't say it's a din of truma that has a suffix, which we say we just let it rot. Here we say we definitely burn it. He's not allowed to burn truma unless it's tummy. We definitely burn it. She's definitely tummy. So you see here, I think it's just the same thing. It's a raya that it's rope. It's right here. The case that Reb Chiya is saying, it's definitely like Abaye says that it's that by this rove, whatever this rove is, if it's a rove or it's a rove matzoi, she's badai tmeya. But Amar Rava, now Rava has an interesting statement. Shemai mina Reb Chiya, we learn from the din of Reb Chiya, right, that dominance of prose or chayavan albias mikdash, Shemai mina rove kar valachacha rove, that rove kar go according to rove. Gemara's answer right away afterwards. Didn't Rava just say that this is rove matzoi? So what's going on, rove karov, right? Shemai mina ruba doraisa, you see from here that the concept of rove is din doraisa, and all the Rishonim, what do you mean, din doraisa? We have a pasuk, Acherav Latos. Did the right Shema Mina from Chiyah that this is the Rov the Raisa? Okay, Ushma Mina Yisrael Rabbi Zeira, and we learn from like Rabbi Zeira, the Amar Rabbi Zeira, Afal Pishet Latos Medina Neulos, right? The Ha'isha Dechin Latos Medina Neulos Damya.
Basically, the din of Rabbi Zeira is that you know the story of the nine chanuyos, the nine stores, nine kosher stores, one non kosher store. You find a piece of meat in the street, we go Basaruba, that goes according, that it is kosher. But Rav Zeira basically comes, and I didn't know this was even Havamina. Rav Zeira basically comes and says that even if all, it's a, let's say it's a walled city, and all the gates into the city are locked. So it's only the possibility exists that it only came from these 10 stores. It's not possible that it came from the kosher stores outside of the city. I mean, you only need one rove. You don't need a double rove. That's what Rav Zeira is saying. Afa pishat lechos medina ne'ulos. Right? We don't need that even all the robe of the here the stores are here and maybe the butchers are outside, so you don't need to have that most of the butchers outside the city sell kosher meat, plus the robe of the stores in the city are selling kosher meat. One robe, that the robe of the stores sell kosher meat, that's enough, and that's the same thing as our case. To ha'isha dechlibatos medina ulos damya, a woman is similar to a lock on the outside of the gates of the city. I mean, there's only one robe, right? There's no two reasons of rove. There's only one rove. But filuhaki calls lina basaruba, and we go basarove to ask for the woman, even though there is only one rove. I guess there must be a gemara that talks about that. Someone argues that says that you need tre ruba. I just don't remember. But we have those two first questions. Number one, what does it mean that shema mina rove kar halach achar rove? So the gemara asks right away. V'har rove who the gemara rove matzur lekel man damar. What did Shema Mina Rove Kar Halchibach Achar Rove? You just said it's Rove Matzoy, and the Rabbi said no one argues on Rove Matzoy, and the woman's case is Rove Matzoy. So he says, Chadabei Rove Me'ahi. Rove was Choser. I don't know what Rove was Choser from. Was he Choser from the fact that no one argues on Rove Matzoy? Was he Choser from the fact that this is Matzoy? I don't know what he was Choser from, but nevertheless, he says that it's Rove Kar Rove. It's not. I mean, he's Choser from the idea of Rove. Rovu Matsui. I'm not sure what he's chozer from. Does he say anything on the bottom? What does it mean that he was chozer? But he doesn't explain. Doesn't explain why. I mean, Rashi explained why it was Matsui. How do you get out of what Rashi said? Rashi said that it's Dami Rabim Yoser and that it's Tadir and Lazuv. So I don't know what. Okay, so Rovu Matsu, the concepts merge according to that. It's not a separate concept. Oh, one leads to the other. Okay, but the other question that we had was, is that he says, we see from here, Shema Mina, Rovu Kar Hachla Rov. So what do we show in the mass? And I'll just bring it from the Rashba. He says, Igla Meida, we got to look into this. Lamed Lidish Amina Lidimid Rav Chiyuk. Lamed Lidish Amina Rav Chiyuk. What do I need to learn this from Rav Chiyuk? Kruxiv, it's a pasuk. Achay rav malatos. What do you mean? I learned from Luchia Hochan Acharov. It's a pasuk. Achay rav malatos. Okay, dakshinu nechulid. I mean, hasam minolei daslina basaruba. But the Gemara in Chulin asks on that Yud Aleph, how do we know we go according to Rov? The Gemara says minolen. What do you mean minolen? Dakshiv achay rav malatos. It says a pasuk. The Gemara even asks this in Chulin. Okay, so maybe one thing you can say that it's talking about that Rov Akarov, but that's not what he says. The first. He says, number one, Shema Mina. Number two is that Ruba de Oraisa. And number one, he says, Rova Karov, you go according to the Rove. It also doesn't make sense in the order. First, you should learn that you have to go according to Basar Rove. And then he says, Basar Rove, you still go Basar Rove even against the Karov. So, to be shown him answer that there are two different types of Rove. Right? There's Ruba de Isa Lekaman and Ruba de Les Lekaman. Ruba de Isa Lekaman is more of a statistical. Is a statistical rove based on the statistics? This probably came from one of these stores. Ruben Lesakamar just means rove of the behemoths that are born as a are not trefa. I mean, it's not necessarily statistical; it's just a hanhaga of how we act based on experience. So you say maybe the pasuk Acher Al Hatos is talking about Ruben Isla Kaman, and from Chia we talk about Ruben Lesakamar. The assumption being that this woman's case is a Ruben Lesakamar. The Shif Shmaisa doesn't like that. But he says, what are you talking about? It's Ruba de Lesa Kaman. The woman's right here. It's Ruba de Isa Kaman. So, I mean, you still have to look into that. There's a whole, the Chana Wasserman talks about it. There's a whole tumult. I didn't have enough time to look at it. The whole tumult about what the story is over here. What are you learning from here about Rove with the Pasuk Achad Rav and Lahatos? Okay. I'm surprised, right. I'm surprised Gemara didn't ask the question. Gemara asked the question, one question Gemara asks about, what are you talking about? Rove Karov, it's Rove Matzoy. He doesn't ask the question. And the Gemara does ask the question in Chulin. Two different Gemaras, two different authors of the Gemara. I don't know. Could be they were edited at different times. I don't know. So Itmar. Now they have another Braisa. Chavish Shetzafa Benahar. We have a barrel of wine that's floating down the river. Okay. Problem with wine is you have to make sure it comes from a Jew, because if it comes from a guy,
it's probably stam yenom, and you can't drink it. So chavish tzafa binar. Okay, and it must also be a case where there's chavish is considered. We learned back in second parak in Eilu Metzias above Kabakama that this is zuto shonar, meaning it's definitely yeish over here, right? It's yeish, you don't have to return it. So this barrel is barreling down the river, right? Amarav nimtzas keneged ir shel Rubi Yisrael mutter. If you find it in the proximity to a Jewish town, then it's mutter. The question is what mutter means, whether you're allowed to drink it or you're allowed to get hanar from it. Let's just say you're allowed to drink it now. It's kosher, assuming it's kosher. Keneged ir shel Rubi nachrim asira. But if you find it in the proximity of a Gaddish town, right? If you found it in Woodmere, it's kosher. If you found it in East Rockaway, you know, maybe it's, maybe not anymore. But in Limbrook, or Rockville Center, then it's Rockville Center is a better example. Then it's definitely treif. You can't, not treif, it's not kosher. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Apil nimtzes keneged ir shel Rubi Yisrael asira. Even if you find it near a city that is mostly Jews, it is still asir. Emer mehad the kara asir. Maybe it came from the town of Kara. Maybe it fell out of a town that was a non-Jewish, non-kosher town. So the Gemara asks, the name of the Ruchanina Miflegin. Maybe they're arguing of the Ruchanina. Ruchanina said, Rov Kara Hachem Acha Rov. So Shmuel, the Mar the Islay the Rabbi Chanina, Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Chanina, and therefore you go according to the Rov. And since most of the cities on the bank of this river are non-Jewish cities, you'd have to assume it came from Rov, and therefore it's not kosher. Umar Leslie the Rabbi Chanina, and Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Chanina. He doesn't hold according to the Rov, which is a tough Havamina, I think, because isn't Shmuel the one who says in Holchim B'Mumah Nachar Rov, but Rav always holds Holchim Nachar Rov. So what's the Havamina to say that Rav doesn't hold according to the Rov? Okay, so Gemara says that might be the machlokas. He goes, no, that's not the machlokas. The kule alma islahu the Rabbi Chanina. All of them hold like Rabbi Chanina that Rov akar of Holchan acharov. So why over here does Rav not say that? Bahaka bahaka miflagi. This is what the machlokas is. The marsav a Rav who says you're going according to the karov in this instance in Isa the mehai the karasi. If it came from this other non-Jewish village upriver, right, then it's impossible. Akule pshuri have matile. There are all these in the river. There are certain places where boats sink and where there are obstructions in the way that somehow it would have gotten, we would have cracked or gotten obstructed and gone to the side. If it made it down the river, it could have come all the way upstream because there's no way it would have come. There are these obstructions that would have blocked it. So therefore, we can't assume that it came from one of those places. And if you found it cut off to a Jewish town, you can say it's kosher. Umar Savar Shmuel said, Charifa Dahara Nakiv Asi. Maybe it fell right smack in the, didn't fall out of the side of the river. Maybe it was on a boat and it fell off in the middle of the river where the current is strong. And the current just took it straight down the river. And therefore, it's a machlokas and metzias of where it came from. I think it's a machlokas and how you view these view obstructions. Rava says that there's an obstruction. If there's a potential obstruction, you view it as being an actual obstruction, and therefore you can't assume it came from that place. Shmuel doesn't view an obstruction that way. Only if you're really obstructed does it stop. But if there's a potential, any possibility that it came from a place other than the obstructed area, then you assume it came from there. And if that's the case, then the rove, go back to the rove. The rove of these towns are rove of the possibilities that it came from a non-kosher environment. Okay, next case. Hahu chatzva the charma the ishtakach pardisa the orla. You have, I think, it's a flask of wine that's hidden or found in a orchard of orla. Meaning the fruit here is still usher, right? It's only the first 3 years; it's still orla. So maybe if you're talking about karov, this stuff is usher because most probably came from the fruit here that's still orla. Talking about rov, most of the flasks in the world come from outside of this area. So, but. And I'm not sure. I think the assumption is it's a Jewish person. If it's a Jewish person, you have another problem of it being not kosher. Sorry? We don't know. The wine is found there. It's in a flask. Where did it come from? Were the grapes used to make this wine from this Orla vineyard? Or did it come from outside? I don't know. You assume where it came from. The carver would tell me. Roba carver, the only the carver came from the grapes that's close to. Oh, the owner doesn't know. So meaning if someone hid it here. Someone put it here. So maybe someone stole it. So Shari Ravina. Ravina says, he said it's mutter. You're allowed to there's no chash that came from this kerem, and you're allowed to drink it. So lema mishum maserav lirchanina, must be that he holds like Rechanina, because if he held like Karov, then it would be aser. Must mean he holds like Ravina. Rove of the stuff comes from outside of this vineyard. Where it says no shani hasam, here it's different. Why? Because it must be, since like you said, the owner doesn't know about it. So the imigdav minei, that if it was stolen from this kerem, atzni begabi lo matzi. Guy doesn't steal and press. Guy doesn't steal grapes, press the wine, and hide the wine in the place where he stole it. Actually, sometimes the best place is right under your nose. But he doesn't. And the Gemara doesn't say that's the case with grapes. He doesn't do that. So therefore, it didn't come from here because it's a case where it's stolen. So we don't assume karov is because it was stolen. But the hani mili chamer, that's only when it comes to the wine. It's not the derech to hide the wine in the place where you squeeze them. About inve matzni. But the derech of the ganavim would be to hide the grapes. Maybe they would still pick up grapes and hide the grapes itself and then come back later. But once they made wine out of it, they wouldn't hide the wine in the vineyard where they stole the grapes from. So that's why we can assume that it's mutter, that it came from a different vineyard, not from this vineyard. Yeah, it must be assumed not from the Danjus, because then you would have an issue of the Greek kosher. I don't know nowadays. You're dealing with a place where it's a Jewish town. You're dealing in Eretz Yisrael. You must be dealing with Orla de Reis. So you're dealing with a Jewish town. You're dealing with the Golan Winery. You're in the Golan or something like that, in one of those places. Okay. Hanu Zikri de Chamra. You have these flasks of wine. The Ishtachon Vekupi. That you found them hidden between the vines of that's owned by a Jew. Okay? It must be owned by a Jew. Right, Tosfos explains that Beit Kufi is a place. It's a Jewish town. So Sharinu Rava. Rava allowed you to drink it, and there was no chash that it came from the Goyim. Right? Lema lo sarvalei de Rav Chanina. If he's holding allowed to drink it, that means he's going according to Karov. So he doesn't hold it Rav Chanina, who says you have to go according to the Rove? So Gemara says, no, Shani Hasam. There it's different. The Ruva de Shuf Choi Yisrael Ninu. It's what they used to have. You know, I was rooted like on a marathon. The people sticking there, holding up the cups of water. People running. So he had also on the path. He had these people who would pour wine for the travelers. They say most of the people who would pour wine, right, the shufchei, the ones who poured wine, they were Jews. Most of the wine pourers from the chavios, from the big barrels into the small barrels, they were Jews, right? And therefore, the rove who deal with these types of flasks are Jews. So he's not going against Rav Chanina. He's going with Rav Chanina. He's going according to the Rove. Right behind him, Elibi Ravervi. But that's only if we found a big flask. Because when you deal with the people who pour from big flask to pour to small flask, only found the big flask. But the small flask, about Zutrai, a small flask, Amor may overdrachim nuffle. The people who travel with small flasks, because they're only going to get a portion of what's from the big flask, and most of the travelers are Goyim. So that Rove would tell me it's not kosher. Because then they would probably touch it. Stam Yedem. Right, so Amor overdrachim nuffle. But the iiga ravri bahadoyu. Let's say what you did is you found this wine in a small flask, but around the small flask there are also larger flasks. Then we're going to say, in that case, Amor ba'avruai habimanchi. We're still going to assume that this small flask still come from a Jew, and that the reason why he had small flasks is to even out or to balance out the carrying. Meaning, he really had big flasks put on the size of the donkey. It wasn't equal weight, so he added another small flask on either side. So the small flask, if you find a small flask surrounded by large flasks, then we're going to assume it belongs to a Jew. If you only find a small flask, we're going to assume it belonged to the Obey Drachim and therefore it's not kosher. And if you find a large flask that comes to a Jew, because rove of the wine pourers were Jewish. Yes, it just depends on the metzias of the case of where you are. Okay, that finishes the sugya of rove and karov. Now go back to marchikin to distancing damages. We hit to 640, right? 640. Okay. Mishnah says, "Marchikin esa'ila min ha'ir esr milchamesh ama." We have to distance a tree from the city limits 25 amos. When the Gemara is explained, because of the noya of the ear, the beauty, beautification of the cities, to not have, I guess it's more beautiful not to have a tree hanging on the outskirts of the city. I thought having trees around the city make it nicer. You have like the Jerusalem forest and all these things that make it nicer. Okay, right? Ubecharav ubeshikma. These two types of trees. I think it's a carob tree and an almond tree. A sycamore tree. Oh, maybe because they have lots of branches, right? So that's chamishin amama. That has to be 50 amas away. Abashol Omer. Abashol says kol inon srak chamishin amah.
any ilan that doesn't produce fruit, an ilan srak, right, that's what it means, right, then has to be distanced 50 amas, because that's ugly, I guess. Right? The ima ear kadma, if the ear was there first, and then the guy planted the tree, so kotzis inos and domin. You have to chop down a tree and he doesn't get reimbursed. If the ima ilam kadam, if the tree was first and then the city was built in proximity to more in proximity of the tree, kotzis inos and domin. He has to chop down the tree and he'll get reimbursed from the town folk. Suffik zek kadam, suffik zek kadam. If it's a suffik, whether the tree was first or the city was first, you can't check into in the records. Kotzis ve'enonos in domim. They chop it down, you don't get paid. They chop it down, they say mosim v'chaber ovaraya, and he doesn't get paid. Yeah, I don't know. They don't talk about that. Maybe this overrides that iser. I don't know because it's hezek. I don't know. The guy say, I put up a fruit tree next to your city, so I can't chop it down. He goes, no, you did it for iser. You got avers on you, I guess. I don't know. I didn't see any discussion of that. What? No, the non-fruit bearing tree is 50 amas. The fruit bearing tree is 25 amas. So he's saying, the fruit bearing tree, how do you chop it down? That's supposed to chop down the fruit bearing trees. I didn't see any discussion of that. Okay, so my timer, what's the reason why we can't plant a tree near to the city? So Amra'ula Mishum Noye Er, for the beauty of the city. Which they talk about in Eretz Yisrael, for the beauty of the it's a tferis, the Eretz Yisrael. The Rashi in the Torah, so it's talking about only about Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. I don't understand that. Messias, it's not pretty to have trees out in the outskirts.
No, no.
Okay. So Gemara says, "V'tepuk lei." Why do we have to worry about noy? Tepuk lei de'in osim sada migrash velo migrash sada. Right? The Torah tells us in Bamidbar Lamed Hey that you have to give to the Levium cities. Right, that's the city, and you have to give a migrash, which is, I guess, in modern that language is a court, like a basketball court, but talking about an even area, the plains out in front around the city, 1,000 amos around the city, and this migrash is split into two. 1,000 amos is where they have to leave it blank, empty, and 1,000 amos is for fields. So the Mishnah says you can't take the 1,000 amos that's supposed to be for the empty, you can't make it into the field, right? You can't plant there. And 1,000 amos supposed to be planted, you have to plant it. You can't make it into the plains, like into the empty area. So to here, I guess maybe they're assuming that this then applies to all cities, and the 1,000 amos close by to the city has to be level. It can't be anything planted on it. So he says, "Stay table in the inos and sada migrash below migrash sada." Because lo tzricha, we need this because there is a time who argues the Rabbi Lazar, the Amar inos and sada migrash and migrash. The Amar Osin Sada Migrash Migrasada. Rav Laza says that the Isser only applies to the Arei Halevim, but the Arei Yisrael, they don't have this din. So therefore, Hacha Mishum Noy Ir Lavdin. So according to him, you would be able to plant in any area around the city. So for him, you have to come up to the answer of Noy Ir. Well, Rabbanan Nami, even according to Rabbanan, who say it does apply, that this idea of Sada Migrash Migrasada applies to other cities. Dami Enos and Sada Migrash Migrasada Hani Milis Roim. That's only if you plant seeds, seedlings and stuff like that. But about ilanos avdinan, but trees do not take away. Trees are still not considered planting in the migrash, right? But hachem mishum noya ir lo. So therefore, to come onto the noya ir, you see, only if you plant vegetation, that would be an issue of making the sada migrash, of making the migrash into a sada. But planting trees does not change the status of the migrash. How do we know that planting of trees does not change the status of the area? We're not tamira. Where do we know this? The shani ben Yisroel li'ilanos. There's a distinction between planting seeds and planting trees. The tanya, we have the concept in Shabbos of different types of rishuyos. It's just a rabbi, it's just a yachid, they have what's called a karmelis. All right? So the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, yoser mi beis asayim shehukaf ladira. You have, I guess, an area surrounding a bias of 2,000 sa'a, nizro rubo, if there's a lot of zroim in that area, harehu kagina ba'asr. So then this becomes like a gina, right? Becomes like a gina, which is not considered a place where you live, and therefore it takes on the status of being a place where it's asr to carry. It's like a karmelis, right? But nita ruba, if you put a lot of trees in that area, it still maintains its status as a rishus hayachin. Meaning, you see, there's a distinction whether you plant trees or whether you plant seeds. If you plant seeds, and it loses its status as a rishus hayachin. if you plant trees, it maintains its status of shushu yachid. So to here, if you plant trees, it doesn't change it into a sada, it's still the migrash, but if you planted seeds, it changes it from a sada into a migrash. Okay, next case. The ima ir kadma, if the city was first, kotis v'ena nosin dama. If you take away, you got chopped down the tree, and then, but you don't pay, you don't, and the tree owner is not reimbursed for the expense, for the tree, for the expense. So mashin like gabi bor the katani kotis nosin dama. Why later on we have a mishnah where the tree is close to the bor, and we say that it's close to a pit, and we say chop down the tree, that he gets paid. Why here does the tree owner not get reimbursed? And over there by the boar, he does get reimbursed. What's the difference between the city and the boar? I think it's clear. It's just a rab, it's just a yachin. But, so Amar of Kahana says, Kidra de Beishutafi lo chamim lo kirira. A pot that belongs to a lot of partners is never warm, never cold. Meaning, there's a free rider syndrome over here. Right? The guy's going to say, well, I'm not going to pay. He's going to pay. So we have to hear. The problem is that maybe what's going to go here, everyone's going to say that the chov is on somebody else. I don't understand. The thing is, like, I just say you have joint liability on the whole city. It has to come from the city to the city. The city treasury has to pay. What do you mean? It's on every individual in the city to make the payment. So Gemara says, well, my kusha, what are you talking about? Dilma shani hazeka the rabbim, hazeka the yachin. Maybe the difference is that an elon is by the hazeka the rabbim. Hazeka the rabbim was more chamor, therefore it gets chopped down without reimbursement. Hazeka the yachin, the guy has to reimburse him. So Eli Itamad Rav Kahana, if we can learn Rav Kahana's dinner, Kadeir, the Beishut, Filo Chamim, Filo Karira, right, Eli Itamad Rav Kahana, Sefer Itamar, we're learning on the Sefer. What was the dinner on the Sefer? Ima Elon Kadam, Kotis Venosein Domin. If the Elon is first, then you chop down the tree first, and then you get paid. Meaning, you don't get paid and then chop down the tree. You have to do the chopping down the tree first. Right, Velei Melehu, let the Bala Elon say, Hav Liberesha Demei, Vahadar Ikots. Give me money first, and then I'll chop it down. The Gemara says, no, I'm Rav Kahana, Kadeiro, the Beishut, Filo Chamim, Filo Karira. No. If we can say, wait for them to give you the money, you're never going to chop down the tree, because you're never going to get payment from everybody. If a bunch of people owe you money, you're never going to get it. And I see it all the time in my line of work. You always want to be joint and separate liability. I mean, I can go after anybody for the entire amount, then you guys deal with it amongst yourselves to get paid. So here, I guess it was individual liability. For each person had only the pro rata share, and if you collect the whole amount, it would never get it done, and you have to get them chopped down the tree, so chop down the tree first. Sup exec kadam, coaches vein and no sing dumb. If you have a suffix, whether the tree was there first or the city was there first, you got to chop it down, but you don't get reimbursed. So Mar says, Maishna mi bor, da marta lo yokots. Later on, we're going to have a mission that says, if it's a suffix that the tree was there first or a suffix the boar was there first, we don't chop it down. We just leave it the way it is. So Mar says, why? Because hasam, by the boar, the vadai lava makeits kai. If there's no, you don't chop it down. So sveko nami limin lo coats. If there's a vadai, if it was vadai, the tree was there before the boar, you wouldn't chop it down. That's not the halacha. You don't chop it down if the tree was there before the boar. So therefore, when you have a suffix, you don't chop it down either. You have to prove that which one was there first. If the burden of proof is now on the pit owner to prove the tree wasn't there first, and then it would chop down. But really, if the tree was there first, it wouldn't be chopped down. But so sveikunami lower meaning lay coats. But halacha divided the makeits kai. In our case, even if the tree was there first, the tree is going to get knocked down. You just can get reimbursed. So the status quo is the tree is going to get knocked down. So halacha. Divided the makeits kai sveiku nami yamrina on lekotz. So if you have a suffix, we tell them chop down a tree. I so why doesn't get paid? The imishum dummy amrina le I see raya b'shukol. Since the tree has to go down anyway, now you have to bring the burden proof is on you to bring the raya that you're supposed to be reimbursed. That's the difference between the boar case and the city case. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Let's do the mishnah because we're going to run out of time tomorrow again. Marchikin es goren kavua mina ir chamishin ama. You have to distance the permanent goren. The permanent, that's the threshing area, right? Yeah, we used to take the tefua and the fork, the pitchfork, and throw it up in the air, and then all the psoles would fly out, and that psoles would fly into the city. It's all just the disgusting part of the produce would fly into the city. So you have to it would fly away. You have to keep it at a distance of 50 amos, so it doesn't do damage or it doesn't come into the city. Because there's moats, they call it. It's going to fly into the town. Lo yasa adam goren kavua. We have to figure out what a goren kavua is and what a non-goren that's not kavua is. Lo yasa adam goren kavua besok shalo. A person should not put a goren kavua in his property. Ela im kein yeshlo chamishim amos lechol ruach. Unless he has 50 amos around the entire and to each side. Umarchik minitiosav shel chaveru uminiro. He has to be marchik this goren from the seed from the plantings of his friend. Uminiro, and also from the plowed fields of his friend. Like in the summer, they wouldn't seed until the winter. So in the summer, they would plow it and make it nice and flat, nice and even. You have to keep the goren 50 amos.
Right, you have to keep right. You have to keep the goring. You think it's 50 amos. Umarchem into yosos shachaberu miniro kedesh lo yazak. A distance that it will not cause damage to the field or to the plants. Okay, so we'll pick up from the Gemara here tomorrow, and we'll say sleepless in the next couple in a few minutes. Outside the city, 50 amos, and a distance away from your friends' areas. Yeah, that's. You have to have a large enough property.
What are the distinctions between residential and commercial
areas? It depends. If it's according to the mission, if it's not in the Tios, maybe it's if the guy has a factory, then maybe you can build it close by. Because he only says here. No, he says only kimis chamisha amal l'choruach. You have to distance it 50 amos in all areas. That's the zoning rules for a mission. Gemara will discuss it. Gemara's going to explain a little further about what you need.